Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I just want to talk a little bit more about the subject matter of holiness that the Lord's been laying on my heart over the last matter of weeks. What it means to a believer, what it means to walk in holiness. You know, holiness is not just a passive, wishy-washy concept that you can sort of reach out and just grab hold of easy. It's an active word, holiness. It's something that is continuous. It's something that goes on in our lives, not just in church, but during the course of our week. And always testify that when the Lord lays something on my heart to share, He challenges me in that area first. And the deeper I dig, the more He reveals about what He wants to talk to us about. Now, I'm not saying that everything He talks to me about is for everyone else, because some of the stuff is just for me, but I really believe that one of the calls on this house is to be known as a place of holiness. I really believe that with all my heart. That as we press into God, as we build that relationship with God Himself, as He becomes more than just your Savior, that He becomes more than just this Lord that we profess with our lips but really don't live in our lives. You know, both King, Savior, and Lord are spelt with capitals. He is the King of Kings. There's no king like King Jesus. Nobody even comes close to Him in what the full meaning of to be a king over a kingdom is about. And He is the Savior of the world. He's not just a life saver. He's the world's Savior, capital S. And for that name, Lord, He's the Lord of Lords, the Bible says. That's not given to someone lightly. You know, I was doing a bit of historical research the other day, and I was looking into some of the stuff in the Parliament in Britain. And there's so many Lords that are part of the British Parliament system. It's almost like, here's the right amount of money, can you give me a title? And I actually know a guy that's actually bought a title for himself. He's a baron. By name, he's got a certificate to prove it, but it cost him money to get it. But Jesus laid down His life to become your Savior and your Lord, both capital S's. And the call upon our lives then is to follow Jesus. You know, you quite often see on the news that a surfer rescued a fellow surfer from a shark attack, or a fisherman was capsized, his boat had capsized, and sea rescue go in and rescue him, or an ambulance officer risked his life to take someone out of a car wreck. And you have that reunion of the saver and the saved. And the saved speak so highly with just tears of joy and appreciation about what the saver has done for the saved. And I often reflect when I see and hear those things, what my Savior paid to save me. I don't even look at your life, but what has your Savior laid down in order to save your life? And the Bible says that Jesus' words say, take up your cross and follow me. You know, if I was out on my surfboard tomorrow and a great white come in and took a chunk out of my board and a chunk out of my leg, and somebody boldly went into that same water to pull me out, I'd be wanting to follow them up and thank them for saving my life, from saving my life out of the jaws of something that could have taken all of me. And yet, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think sometimes we follow at such a distance with this word, I'm following you, Jesus, leave me where I should go. Hang on, Jesus, I've just got to go and do such and such. Lord, I'm caught up with so-and-so. I'll be with you shortly, Lord. To me, follow Jesus is to follow Jesus. Amen? And so this morning, if we can just continue on this message about holiness in Christ, our opening scripture, and I know I keep coming back to it, but sometimes reinforcement gets that scripture into us. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. Do we know that? I think the Apostle Paul really knew that. He understood what his old self looked like compared to the new self that God had offered him through Jesus the Christ. Amen? Amen. Come on. You know, so often we read through Scripture and we just read through chunks of Scripture and we take it so lightly and so matter of fact, when the Word of the Lord is actually being spoken spirit to spirit. Do you know, question, do you know that your old self was crucified with him? Do you really know that? Obviously you don't. Didn't get any positive responses. Can I challenge us all as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? These are the basics we need to know. We can know it up here. We can know it here. Let's go a little bit lower. Let's know it in here. I know your life wasn't all that bad. Maybe. But sin was sin in the eyes of God. A separation from him was a separation from him. It didn't matter whether it was a millimeter or whether it was 1,000 kilometers. Your separation was so real to God that the only way to redeem you back was the sacrifice of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a child to dwell among us, John reports in John chapter 1. The word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. The message says, and the Word became flesh and lived in our neighborhood. Now that was great. I could full stop it there and, you know, everyone lived happily ever after. But the Bible says here that Jesus had a mission, he had a plan, he had a purpose for being on earth. And that was to bring people out of darkness, out of sin-filled lives, wash us clean with his blood, set us on fire with his Holy Spirit, take us to a new way of living, a new understanding of life. And he said, it's not going to happen overnight. Just as I grew, you're going to grow also. Just as you hunger, I hungered. Just as you thirst after righteousness, I'm going to quench that thirst. And so in this passage here, look at the benefit. We know that our old self was crucified with him. It should be a capital H. So that the body of sin might be done away with. That we no longer be slaves. We should no longer be slaves to sin. Notice that word should. The simple word. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. How many know that sin sits on your doorstep waiting for a place to come in, waiting for temptation, waiting for distraction, waiting for a weak moment, waiting for an opportunity? No mistake, the Bible warns us that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're not protected from sin other than that righteousness that we walk in because of the blood of the Lamb. Let's read on, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Dennis is involved in prison ministry. He knows that those men, those people he goes to visit in the prison, they're prisoners. They're locked in for whatever reason. They're behind bars. They just can't say to one of the warders, well, I feel like a McDonald's coffee, I'll be back in an hour, and walk out the door. We're ministering to a young man in Port Elliot at the moment. He's just finished 5 years jail, and he said, I never want to go back there again. I lost 5 years of my life. I'm not going to lose anymore. I know he's serious. But he was a slave to the life he was living in the area he was living, and he didn't know how to get out of it. And the consequence of that was he stepped beyond the line of what was lawful and what was unlawful. He was arrested, he was trialed, he was judged, and he was imprisoned for 5 years. Dennis knows these people. Kath knows these people. I know these people. Some of you others might know these type of people. But when you put it in context with our life in sin, that's what we were like. You might have just been a good person who didn't want to know about God, but you were a slave to sin. You might have been just a casual stretcher of the truth, not a liar. Perhaps you only told half the truth, but you weren't a liar. But that was sin in God's eyes. And it was actually encapsulating us. It was keeping us in that sin-filled nature. But God sends his son, Jesus, into our life. And when we accept him, notice the wording, when we accept him, Jesus is on offer, if you like. Freedom is on offer. New way of living is on offer. Better way of living and understanding is on offer. Wisdom and knowledge of God is on offer. Grace and mercy is on offer. What did we do? If you're like me, you rejected it for a long, long time. I'm doing okay. Life's all right. For girls, really? Christianity, old hat. Really? The Bible? Come on. Hear it. I spoke it. I lived it. But what did I do? Jesus comes to me on that day of salvation and he offers me eternal life. He offers me a new way of living. And I accepted his offer. Is it forced upon you? Did somebody make you accept Jesus? Did they thump you over the head with their big family Bible? They might have had this, you know, fire and brimstone type message which offered you heaven or hell. But you still accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. His words then are, follow me. Be holy as I am holy. And yet in this modern day culture, we seem to be watering down again and again and again the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Had this quote up. I'm going to stop there. 1 Peter 1:14-16. We know it all. Let's read it together. Ready? Read 1 Peter 1:16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in most of what you do. All of what you do. For it is written, be holy as I am holy. Amen? Notice the wording. As obedient children. You want to be called a disobedient child? Explain that to your Heavenly Father. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Notice these two words. Obedience, ignorance. Now how many people here in the auditorium actually read the Bible? Hands up. Yeah, I think they're pretty well up. I won't point fingers. So if you read your Bible, you are no longer ignorant. It's what you do with your reading that will bring you into obedience or keep you in that place of disobedience. I know for some of you it'd be a long time ago, but how many remember sitting for your learner's license? The written. You've got a license, haven't you, Sam? Was that long ago? Weet-Bix packet? For the younger generation, we have to sit down and do a written test. For the older generation, I think you just sat with a local police officer, did a lap of the block, and you could drive anything. To answer the questions, name, address, phone number. I didn't have phones back then. So you are in the younger generation. You had to do a written test? Okay, that's good. So we're not all old. We're all in the younger generation. But you remember there was conditions, there was multiple choice in some of the questions. If you approach a roundabout, will you do A, B, C, D, E, F, G? No. And we had to get in a certain amount correct, as Barry said, in order to get that initial permit to legally drive on the road. Legally. I can remember my older sister, a year older than me, she said, I'm going up to the Darling Police Station to sit for my learner's license today. I'm going on the bus, will you come with me? I'd just turned 16, so I said, yep, sounds good. I might learn up on the way up. So I got the book, and as I'm giving her some questioning, I'm thinking, I reckon I could do this. And you know what? I passed. You know what else? She didn't. She already had a car. So I got to drive her car on L's while she was sitting re-swatting the second test. But how much more important, I'm glad I made you laugh, how much more important is doing your learner's test through the Word of God and getting a basic understanding to lead you to the next level of knowing God? I've been caught driving my sister's car with L plates on it, or without L plates on it, without a licensed driver next to me. I would have been in big trouble. We call ourselves Christians, and we're not really living the way God's called us to live. So we're disobedient. Seriously. The level of disobedience is something that can be corrected. This is what I love about the grace and the mercy of my God. But you know, when you get even a little bit offline, if you're tuned in with the things of God, if you're close to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, it doesn't take much misalignment for you to realize you're out of order, you're on the wrong path, and the Holy Spirit brings you back. Amen? As obedient children, do not conform. What does it say in Romans? Do not conform to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Here we are in 1 Peter. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So you go out of ignorance into understanding. You go out of understanding into revelation. You apply that revelation to your life, and you don't want to go back. And when that sin comes, and the Bible says in Hebrews, to easily ensnare you, you go, no, I don't want that anymore. I tried that, I don't like it anymore. I'm living this life now. But it goes on. But just as he who has called you is holy. Did the Holy One of Israel call you? Jesus is his name, in case you didn't get it. He called you. Spoke into your heart one day and he said you need to change your ways. I don't know the exact words he spoke to you about, but we call it a rebirth. We call it being born again. We call it coming out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We call it, you know, the sinner's prayer when we ask Jesus to come into our life, to change us. I don't know about you, but I'm not on L plates anymore. I don't drive around with Pastor Robin as the licensed driver to tell me when to turn left, that I'm braking too hard, that I'm going too fast, or I need to keep four wheels on the road, not two. Are you with me? And yet in Christ, sometimes it seems like we're back in learner's mode when we've got scriptures like this that are in our face if we're reading the Word and being challenged by the Holy Spirit. Be holy in all you do. Be holy in all you do. Oh, that's just unobtainable, Pastor Lou. I don't believe it is. When you understand what holiness is about. We started off with this message. Holiness is consecration. Holiness is complete reality. Holiness is continual process. A continual process. Holiness is a choice. You have temptation in front of you. You can say, no thank you. Whether it be a piece of black forest cake that's five layers high, or whether it be a tax return or a time book or something that's tempting you to take that's not yours, it's a choice. Just as sin is a choice, holiness is a choice also. I don't see any halos in the house this morning. Because I won't see them. Holiness is not going around with some little halo above your head saying, look at me, I'm holy. Holiness is a response to what's changing onward process in here. Things that you used to accept, you no longer accept. Things that perhaps other Christians are compromising on, you say, no, that doesn't line up with the word that I'm reading. A choice. Holiness is that control over sin. It's that choice you have and then doing something with that choice. Holiness is a connection. We talked about that last week. I want to talk about this one here this morning. That holiness is a condition of heaven. You got your Bibles? Open them to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Touched on it lightly last week. Verse 14 of Hebrews 12 says, strive to live in peace with everyone and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise foresight. And be on the watch to look after one another. Conditional. To see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, that is rancor, bitterness or hatred, shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. Strive to live in peace. You ever strive towards something? Interesting that the King James Version says follow peace. The real Greek meaning of the word there is not about just following. In Jimmy, you got it wrong. The Greek word is there to push forward, to pursue, to chase after, not just to follow. You see, I could follow someone at a distance, but if I want to catch them, if I want to spend time with them, sometimes I've got to strive, I've got to push forward in it. A little bit like the woman with the issue of blood. Since she pushed through the crowd to get to Jesus. She didn't just pile up and say, excuse me, you know me, I'm the woman with the issue of blood, you're not allowed to touch me, so let me through. I'm coming, Jesus. Woohoo. The Bible says she pushed through the crowd. Sometimes to achieve peace, you've got to push through the crowd. Sometimes you've got to strive to achieve what God's offering you. Sometimes you've got to relentlessly hunt it down. Because how many know that peace is something that the enemy wants to take from you? That's why Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Amen? His peace. But he relates peace and holiness together. Peace and holiness together. It's rather an interesting passage because the weight of the message says, without which no one, he's talking holiness and peace, will ever see the Lord. Without the peace of God, without the holiness of God, you'll never see the Lord. It's a bit like the John 3:3 passage, isn't it? Except a man be born again, he shall not enter, shall not see the kingdom of God. Except a man. In other words, unless you are born again, something we preach here, unless you are born again, born of the Spirit, born of water, as it says in John 3:6, born of the Spirit, born of water, you shall not enter the kingdom. This is a similar type passage. Unless holiness is part of your everyday living in all you do, as it says in Peter, in all you do, you shall not see the Lord. Pretty strong passage, isn't it? You shall not see the Lord. How many want to see the Lord? I shared with the eldership on Monday night at our elders meeting about the amount of time we spend thinking about us, the bride of Christ, compared to the emphasis we should be putting on the groom. I shared the analogy that, you know, when the wedding takes place in our Western culture, the groomsman simply waits at the front. He comes in from a side door and he might be waiting an hour, hour and a half. But as soon as the bridal car pulls up at the front, she's here. The bride's here. Dun, 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 dun. And everyone stands up. Oh, look at that beautiful dress. Oh, and the makeup. Oh, and the shoes. Where's the groomsman? Honey, you're late. This looks promising. You look back to the parable of the 10 virgins. The virgins prepared themselves for when the groom was coming. They wanted to make sure that they were ready for the groom to come. And right through that town, right through the village, when the groom started coming, the shout went through, "Behold, the bridegroom comes. He's on his way. He's coming. Get yourselves ready." We're the bride. We're the bride of Christ. He's coming back for his pure and his spotless bride. Holiness turns the attention off of me, the bride, and puts it back on the groom, the soon coming king, the Christ, the groom of the church, coming for his bride. Pretty interesting that it's Peter that has this revelation that unless we have holiness in our life, the writer of Hebrews, Paul, that we shall not see the Lord. How real is it in your life? How real is the reality that without holiness in your life, if you believe on the word, you shall not see the Lord? It's pretty interesting as far as my study goes. And the more I look at it, the more I realize the emphasis on holiness is not to have that little golden ring floating around your head. But it's about a heart attitude that puts everything towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and everything else doesn't really matter. It's Matthew who writes the words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things. Right way of doing things includes holiness and consecration. And all these other things will be added to you besides. We seem to worry about all the other things without worrying about the giver of all these things. You know, sin has no place in heaven. It's not going to cross the threshold of the gates. Why, therefore, does sin dominate and control our lives? We're all fallible. We can all have a choice as to whether sin's in or not. But it's only when we walk in holiness and understand that we've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, that we can live our lives free from sin. Say this with me. I want to be free from sin. You believe that this morning? I can't do it for you, want to be free from sin. You know what that would look like? Do you know how that would feel if you were free from sin? What a glorious thing that would be. What a great day in heaven that would be. Amen? But holiness is a condition of heaven. How are you going to see the Lord unless you've got holiness in your life? We can't earn our way to heaven. We're supposed to be a holiness people, set apart for the things of the Lord. Not meant to be legalists. Legalists go around pointing out all the errors in someone else's life when their own life is not right. I love the way God gives it back to us to say, you, Lou, you be concerned about Lou. When you can get it right, perhaps you can help someone else. Now, holiness is a condition of heaven, but it's also a gift from heaven. Words of Jesus, be holy as I am holy. Words of God in the Old Testament, be holy as I am holy. That's not a free will gift you can just chuck away lightly, is it? God says, I'm holy. God says, I'm holy. Then he says, now, you, Lou, you be holy. That's a pretty big ask, isn't it? I can be holy like God if I choose. It's a gift from heaven. It's a reality for all who believe in Christ. It's something real. It's something tangible. It's something achievable. Let me tell you how you get there. Ready for this? This is deep. Have faith in God. Deep. Pastor Lou, you don't understand my background. You don't understand how I live. You don't understand my day-to-day living. I don't have to. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus so you can live a holy life. Amen? By faith in Christ, God sees us positionally as holy, then empowers us by his Holy Spirit within us to progressively become more Christ-like, progressively. Things that you may have accepted in your old way of living, even your old understanding of the Word of God, God says, "Not, no, I want you to get a revelation of that. I want you to move into what I've got for you." So over the last few weeks, let me summarize with this. We've looked at the seven C's of holiness. Consecration, complete reality, continual process, choice, control, and condition of heaven. Let me summarize it in a simple takeaway this morning. As God's children, anyone God's children here this morning? If you're not, okay, we'll talk about that later. As God's children, we live. Not we should live. Not we can live. But we live holy as he is holy. You know, a little scripture says, Christ within me, the hope of glory. If Christ is within you, then his holiness permeates your spirit. It permeates your natural thinking and takes it to a supernatural realm. It permeates your earthly realm, your body if you like, and it takes that to a supernatural increase as well. As children of God, you and I share a family resemblance with God your Creator. One of his characteristics is his holiness. Don't you want to have your dad's resemblance as far as that goes? We no longer live according to our evil desires, to our fleshly desires, to the lusts of the flesh, by choice. We push them away deliberately, determinedly. And as God's children, remember this always, you are a child of God. What does it say in John chapter 1, verse 12? Come there with me quickly. John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, not John 12, Pastor Lou. But as many... To as many as did receive and welcome him, the Amplified says, he gave the authority, that is the power, that is the privilege, that is the right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. To as many as did receive him, Jesus was on offer. Holiness was on offer. Righteousness was on offer. Healing was on offer. Grace and mercy were on offer. Strength was on offer. Wisdom and knowledge. How long is your list? Let me have a look. Boom! As many as did receive him and all he had on offer. He gave the right, the privilege to become what? Children of God. Children of God are so pleased with their Father, so connected to their Father. But when he says, Lou, holiness, better check that one, boy. That decision you made, not quite what I would have done. See, my relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit and the precious blood of Jesus says when sin comes, that unction of the Spirit within me says yes or no. I can put on fleshly desire and say, that'd be all right. No one needs to know. Really? Hello? He knows everything. I don't want to stand before my Maker and one day and say, you know, back in 2016... Remember that day in December? And Holy Spirit said to you, don't go there, don't do that, don't make that choice, go the other way. And you looked and you said, nobody's going to see, nobody's going to know. I was watching. I'll be judged on that. Now I might repent of that. I might have that realization down the track that it was wrong. Lord, forgive me. Look, I really mucked up. A bit like Dean's story. He went to the chemist. Man-made medication didn't fix him. He suddenly remembered, I like your word, I suddenly remembered, ask, it should be given unto you. What happened? He asked his father gave it to him. I'm sure that was a repentant heart. Lord, I should have turned to you first, but I didn't. But thank you that you had mercy. When we ask forgiveness, God forgives and he forgets that scenario. So that when you stand before him, he goes, December 2016? No, don't remember. He just doesn't say, I remember that, but I've forgiven you and forgotten. He says, don't remember. Because what happens? He washes you clean. Your slate is empty. But be holy in all that you do. Big challenge for the remainder of 2016 into 2017. Big challenge until Jesus returns. Those words keep resounding in my spirit, in my day-to-day walk. Be holy as I am holy. I really hope this is starting to encourage you all that this life we live in Christ is not like a life we live pre-Christ. You know my scripture, 1 Corinthians 5:17. For if any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. The old is what? Passed away. Gone. And the new is come. I don't want to be a renovated creation. I don't even want to be a restored creation, because I was born in a sinful nature. I want to be that new creation that God speaks about through his word. If any man, any woman, any child be in Christ. Love that word. Behold.
Behold.
He's a new creation. You know, the true meaning of that is there's never been anything like it ever on planet Earth. That's that born again experience, friends. When you're born again, it's almost like you do re-enter the mother's womb, but you're actually recalled into the father's initial creation of you, and you come out as that new creation. The old has passed away. Like all those old computers, all those old phones, all that old furniture, all those old cars. I don't think we collect all those for another day. We get rid of them, don't we? Yes, most of it. I tried hard yesterday in my shed. The old is passed away. It's passed away. The new is come. The new is holiness, righteousness, consecration in all that we do. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.